Welcome to Customer Value Performance Momentum, a talk show brought to you by ClearAction Continuum. Please visit clearaction.com to get acquainted with the ClearAction Value Exchange, a membership to take your customer experience, customer success, customer care, customer engagement, and marketing teams to the next level of job satisfaction and strategic impact. It's 24/365 professional development in small bites for on-the-go access and real-time solutions to your job challenges in connecting the dots, improving efficiency and scalability, gaining cross-organizational collaboration, and influencing your company to be more innovative and nimble through customer intelligence. Take a look at clearaction.com and join us today.
Welcome to the Marketing Operations Leaders Talk Show. Today, we're having an online conversation with Gary Katz and myself. I'm Lynn Hunsaker, and we are the owners of Marketing Operations Partners, a consultancy that helps companies to become more agile, accountable, and aligned with their customers and internally in their marketing organizations. So Gary has a long history in this field as one of the pioneers in marketing operations. In fact, if you look at the Wikipedia definition of marketing operations, he's featured as being the first to do many things in this field. And I myself have worked in marketing for quite a number of years. I've been the president of the Silicon Valley American Marketing Association. And today we're here to talk to you about metrics that the C-suite cares about and what that means for the marketing organization and marketing operations field. So, Gary, would you like to tell just a little bit more about your background?
Sure, Lynn. I actually grew up a public relations guy many years ago, and the thing that ultimately drew me to marketing operations is the disconnect between what companies say in terms of brand promise and message and what they're actually able to do in the market. So that led me to pursue a degree in organization development, which kind of took me down a path, which ultimately led to founding Marketing Operations Partners in 2005.
Oh, very good. The reason why I was drawn to marketing operations was because I not only had the marketing background, but I became head of corporate quality at Applied Materials, a semiconductor equipment company in Silicon Valley. And I gained an appreciation for the efficiency and effectiveness tools that marketers could be benefiting from. So here we are. And Gary, what is the way that you normally think about the metrics that the C-suite cares about?
Well, I at a very high level, the C-suite tends to care about things like market share, the equity of their brand, and if they're smart, customer lifetime value, you know, viewing that customer relationship over time. A lot of companies have a pretty good handle on their market share, you know, based on looking at the total market share and what their deal amount is and, you know, kind of doing a calculation. There's a lot of market analyst firms that do the work for companies if it's a mature company. So that's a fairly easy metric to get. Brand equity is a fairly expensive metric to calculate. But companies like HP, and this goes back some years, but is a good example, discovered through an investment in a brand equity type study that something along the lines of 35% of the value of the company was tied back to the goodwill of the brand, which was substantial. It was actually the biggest contribution to the company's success, even bigger than financial type of performance metrics, which is really significant. In terms of the customer lifetime value, and you can link that to the value of a customer franchise at any given point in time, you know, that's certainly something that the C-suite cares about a lot. Since we've been seeing marketing get more and more involved in contributing to the revenue success of the company, a lot of metrics these days that C-level cares about are very much linked to that. So customer acquisition cost is certainly a big one. And then you look at the customer acquisition cost and how it relates back to the marketing. So, for example, you take marketing costs and divide those by the cost of your sales and marketing, so you can compute the percentage of marketing to the customer acquisition costs. Also, lifetime value, and looking at that ratio of the customer acquisition cost or the lifetime value to the customer acquisition cost is another thing they care about. How long it takes to pay back, so time to pay back that customer acquisition cost. You also look at things like what percentage of the customer base was originated through marketing's effort. More and more, so marketing is signing up for a quota in terms of bringing business in, and also looking at where marketing influenced the customer acquisition. So those are several. Certainly there are others, as marketing is expected to do more and more in organizations. There's bound to be a metric that is tied to enterprise strategic initiatives that marketing is going to want to track and report back to the C-suite to get their support.
Well, I think that there's a lot of insights there, and I especially appreciate that Hewlett-Packard example you gave about the 35% of brand equity being tied to customer, what was it, customer lifetime value, did you say?
That was really not specific to customer lifetime value, but to the actual value of the brand or the equity of the brand.
Oh, the value of the brand, right.
So the value of the business, ultimately.
Oh, the value of business was tied to the value of the brand.
Yep.
Well, I hear that, the C-suite is held accountable by industry analysts for earnings per share, for revenue growth, for market share, leadership, and so forth.
Yeah.
And I think that as the executives are trying to manage expectations among industry analysts and shareholders and others, that sometimes we take their emphasis on those particular metrics very literally. But I love the way that you had laid out some of the underlying factors to get to strong earnings per share and revenue growth and market share leadership. And I think that's where marketing can be more strategic in their thinking about their metrics. One of our listeners here has asked another question, Gary, which is, how can marketers be more proactive in knowing the top 3 to 5 metrics that the C-suite is focusing on? My gut reaction to that is that normally a company has published some stretch goals. They have some objectives that they're focusing on for this year, maybe a 3-year plan.
Yep.
Those are obviously very critical metrics for the company to achieve, and any time that marketers can tie into those and what the work that they're doing, they're more inclined to get share of mind from the executives.
I agree with that. Certainly, to the degree that you can articulate your marketing goals and the contribution of your marketing goals to those 3 to 5 enterprise strategic objectives that the C-suite is focused on over any given period of time, the more likely that you can get the resources you need to support that, you can build a business case around it, you can get the executive sponsor you need to follow sponsorship you need to follow it through. So I agree completely with that. I think another thing that's not specific to this question, but just kind of the topic in general, is that companies, when they think about metrics, and even in the C-suite sometimes this is the case, they tend to get hung up on what already happened, the lagging metrics. I know this is an area that you're an expert in, Lynn, at leading versus lagging metrics. And so I think we need to have that same point of view when we're talking about C-suite metrics, that balance of the leading and the lagging. Maybe you have some thoughts about that.
I do. There's two tools that I like to use in making metrics that my group is focusing on relevant to the C-suite. One of the tools is called cascading objectives, and some of our listeners may be familiar with that. You might be able to Google it or look at some of my articles. We have them on mopartners.com blog, describing how do you cascade an objective from the C-suite to the division or the top organization that you're working in that reports into the C-suite, and then to the next organization, the next organization, the next organization, as far as a reporting chain of command. And as you cascade, you know, how do we contribute to the success of the upward organization? How does the next organization contribute to their success? Now you're seeing things being tied vertically in that hierarchy. And it's very empowering for your rank and file employees and teams to see their connection to the strategy, and I think this is a very common gap.
Absolutely. I mean, there's nothing more meaningful than understanding, you know, what you're doing and the impact that it's having, and also just being able to see how your contribution ties the whole and plays a just a huge part in the team success, because a lot of times, you know, we're plugged into our little silos doing things, we never really know what happened afterwards, you know, or we know something happened, but we don't know what was our piece of it. And I think that we need to do a better job of training people and giving people the visibility to see how they impact the whole, both in a positive way and a not so positive way. Hopefully the positive way is celebrated and it's public and you get the recognition, and the stuff that maybe you're getting in the way on, you know, is more private and more directional, and, you know, more coaching and mentorship and part of a development plan. And I think that companies aren't super good at doing that because they don't connect the dots and themselves. They don't even know how they got there a lot of times. They just kind of got there in spite of themselves. And, you know, to have a more proactive, forward-looking, strategic type of operation that can, be agile and aligned and accountable, like we talk about, requires that type of due diligence, that type of commitment, that type of investment, that type of effort.
Well, I found that as your teams will work this out, maybe there's some organization ahead of you in the hierarchy that has not been very definitive about how they feed into the upper level metric. But as I've done that with my own teams, and we've filled in the gaps as best we can, that has opened up a lot of kind of systems thinking or silo busting. Mm-hmm. In the way that we're looking at things. And furthermore, I found that if an organization is showing its balanced scorecard accordingly, where you show each level vertically and how what's happening at the team level feeds into the upper levels, that can be very eye-opening, not only for the employees at the team level, but certainly for the executives in championing things and being an executive sponsor. It just creates a lot of kumbaya.
Well, it's great from the executive sponsor and the managerial level, in that you can have a sense that you're marching towards something together, right? Mm-hmm. And from the standpoint of a different cross-functional alignment or appreciation, you know, of understanding of the what's in it for me's and what the other groups are trying to do, what their priorities are. You know, that's extremely valuable, because otherwise we have a tendency, you know, to kind of think, well, we're holding it all together ourselves, right? We don't really appreciate the contribution of the other. And of course, you won't appreciate, you know, you don't fully appreciate that contribution until you don't have it. And all of a sudden, there's that big gap in the business, and it's affecting you. So I think that, you know, having this kind of, you know, visibility, accountability, transparency to one another, you know, by being able to, you know, clearly define these metrics and the key performance indicators and cascade them all the way up to the enterprise strategic objectives, and understand, you know, how the different activities support, you know, each of those, you know, metrics and move you, you know, in that path toward, you know, toward, you know, ticking off the KPIs to get to that ultimate result. That's really, really valuable. And that's what the best, you know, practice companies are doing now, or certainly working toward and have made a lot of progress in. And that's what other companies need to emulate.
I found that as an executive, if I take the different teams' metrics and kind of add them up, or what envision them being added up, so that you have objectives going downward as a cascade, kind of like a water fountain, but then metrics being rolled upward. Are the metrics going to add up to the objective that we had at the C-team level? This is a big way to sanity test whether people have done this exercise in the correct way. And I think one of the things you'll find, if you're taking objectives downward rather than being really literal with the metrics, like maybe they say we want revenue growth to be blah blah blah, not every single program or team effort is going to be direct to revenue increase or market share increase or earnings per share increase.
Sure.
But what you'll find is that people will peel the onion, so to speak, to say, well, in order to get there, I need to be doing this, or we need to be doing X, Y, and Z to as kind of precursors to the revenue, market share, and earnings per share, and other C-level metrics.
Right. It's not all cause and effect, obviously. It's correlation, contribution, and we have to understand those type of factors. And a lot of times, you know, companies will throw out, you know, a lot of things that are very valuable, you know, contributors, and that really correlate to the success, because they can't see the, you know, they can't see the cause and effect, and so they just throw out that. And of course, there is an impact. There are implications when you do that. I like to talk about, you know, that sometimes companies will look at certain metrics in certain ways, and they kind of get activity oriented. For example, at ShoreTel, you know, we were having a lot of trouble, you know, being able to identify what the value. You know, we didn't have like customer lifetime value metrics, so we were just kind of looking at things in terms of a transaction. So we'd look at the transaction closing associated with a particular part of you know, a marketing investment, a portfolio, you know, program, you know, analysis, and we would you know, blow up some programs because we couldn't see the cause and effect, because they didn't close a deal, the lead didn't come, you know, as a result of that, or they cut back on marketing overall investment because they weren't seeing enough ROI from it. And the problem was, they were looking at it in too small a window, because they didn't see the customer lifetime value, the longitudinal view. They kind of shot the, you know, and killed the goose that was laying golden eggs that they didn't recognize.
I think there's some real valuable insight there, because a lot of times what you get in the course of even a lost sale is you might have gain some insights that lead you to do something better the next time for somebody else, or that introduce you to another opportunity, or inspire you to do something new, innovative, or more cost-effectively operationally in the company. So
absolutely.
That, you know, keeping a paper trail of all the stuff that all the value that is derived, whether it's, you know, definitive revenue uptick or other value, is really important in telling the full story of what marketing is achieving.
Well, that's right. And that contributor, you need to also assess what is it supposed to be achieving, because it may not be a quantifiable, measurable, right? It might be something that supports the other things, you know, such as, you know, providing some brand air cover or something like that. And, you know, maybe you aren't, maybe you, you know, move the dial somewhat in terms of how much as a percentage you want to put to, toward brand versus acquisition versus retention, you know, or whatever, over a period of time. I think that, you know, it's also important to give, you know, certain types of activities enough time to prove themselves. Now, I'm not talking about, you know, you're doing a trial, you know, with one you know, company that's providing, you know, some kind of a demand generation, you know, white paper sponsorship thing or something like that. I'm talking about, you know, more of a portfolio view. But you have to make sure that you have that balanced portfolio of different types of marketing tactics and channels. If you're trying to do it all through what you perceive to be the very most profitable, your customer better be, you know, 100% touched, you know, through that one way. And I don't think most of us in business have the luxury of being able to reach our customer in only one way. And if we do, we don't need marketing. Sales can just go in there and sell, right? But you know, that's not a very scalable business. If you were, you know, if you're trying to build that over time, you know, you're just throwing salespeople at it, and they cost a lot of money.
Well, one of the things I liked that you mentioned a moment ago was, what is marketing's contribution to the customer life cycle? You mentioned customer lifetime value and the customer life cycle.
That's right.
I think we think. Again, a lot of people, us marketers, tend to be a little too literal with the whole thing, and maybe too finite. Whereas if you look at the whole customer life cycle and where the opportunities are to derive additional value, it's not always customer acquisition.
That's right.
Everybody pretty much agrees that customer retention is the most cost-effective way to maintain your business growth.
Absolutely.
And yet, as marketers, we'll tend to zero in on upsell and cross-sell and kind of very transactional type of thinking.
Loyalty as well, which doesn't necessarily translate to, you know, the kind of response, you know, commitment over time, you know, in terms of dollars. Loyalty alone is not enough, because loyalty, you know, comes and goes.
Well, loyalty can be enacted right now. Like, please renew now. I will give you my firstborn child.
Right.
And people will renew now, but what do you do next year? You know, it's
right.
Not
and you've lost your firstborn child in the process.
You only have so many firstborn childs to go
That's
around.
Right.
So.
That's right. You know, another thing that I think is playing into this, you know, there's a lot of focus in agile marketing on being able to test, you know, things, you know, but do it quickly. And so I think that that plays into this as well, because I think, you know, you have a lot of metrics that are maybe longer term type metrics, but you also should have some metrics that are more experimental in nature and help you quickly do experiments. So that you can see how certain things work or don't work, and help you tune how you invest, you know, in particular types of things that maybe aren't so well known, you know, either to your company because you haven't done them before, or maybe to anybody because they haven't been done by anybody before. And of course, those things that have never been done by anybody, they're going to ultimately take a bigger investment if they have enough power behind them, you know, to make it worthwhile. That's a decision that you have to kind of test in a lot of ways. You may want to do that gradually over time, or let some others, you know, take the arrows instead. But you know, those are all the kinds of the decisions that that we have to make as we try to become more innovative and go you know, into those unknown areas, because there is a lot that we don't know. And the world is changing, and the customers are changing, channels are changing, ways of reaching people, you know, are changing all the time, and we need to be on the on the front of that as much as we can as an organization, but also we have to be true to what we are as an organization. So we have to find the right balance of that.
So let's recap. What does the CXO care about? I think that we can summarize that as the things that they're measured on, the things that they're measured on by the board of directors and industry analysts and shareholders, the things that they're measured on in terms of the objectives that they put out there as the stretch goals for this year or the next 3 years, or however that your C-team is articulating those things. Is that, do you have anything to add to that summary, Gary? Does that wrap it up pretty well?
I think that's pretty complete. I would say that the other key thing is that the C-suite cares about what's sustainable over time. And so, you know, there's kind of a time-based frame that we have to view. There are some more immediate things. You know, sometimes a company might be in a cost-cutting mode, for instance. Usually the CFO is the one that's, you know, that's being the bigger champion of that, or maybe the COO, because, you know, that's going to be delegated by the CEO most of the time, because they want to kind of stay in that visionary place as much as possible, unless the company is just, you know, absolutely in, you know, serious jeopardy, and that's a different type of situation entirely.
Well, let's recap the next part of our outline today, which was, what does that mean then for the marketing strategy? And then let's recap finally, what does that mean for marketing operations?
Yeah.
Can you summarize what it means for marketing strategy that, you know, we've just identified what the C-team cares about most?
Yeah, so I mean, the bottom line is, you know, to cascade what we're doing in marketing into those 3 to 5 enterprise strategic objectives that are most important, and characterize the marketing metrics and the KPIs in accordance with that, so that you do have, you know, the right amount of executive sponsorship. You can show how marketing is contributing, you know, to the bigger picture, and make course corrections based on your understanding of how well we're moving toward achieving those strategic objectives or not. So that would be the biggest you know, thing in terms of strategy.
Yep. I think that another part of strategy would be to view things in a more longitudinal way, as we've talked to, at length, as far as the customer life cycle and the value that marketing is contributing to that life cycle. Take a look at the end of, and the middle part of the life cycle, not just the beginning. And then also being willing to do, making sure that you're having a paper trail to give credit for all of the other things that aren't exactly quantified as a revenue uptick.
Yes. Yes, absolutely. You know, the more that you can learn and document that learning, the more that you can make better decisions that are justifiable, and you know, they can get the kind of buy-in and additional executive sponsorship and support that you need to, you know, both make adjustments or to wholeheartedly go forward, with new types of initiatives.
Okay, so let's finally recap what it means for marketing operations leaders. How should they proceed with all of the things that we've said today? If we could wrap it up in a nutshell, what would it be?
Well, the good news for the marketing operations leaders is that they have this data, if they're either owning the business intelligence or they're working hand in hand with the business intelligence group in the organization, and they also own the metrics, and they're synced both into the metrics and the analytics, and they're responsible for making the KPIs visible and tying those into the activities that are happening, and of course the associated budget and resources that are tied to those. So it's a real powerful position for marketing operations, a real great opportunity for marketing operations. If somebody in marketing operations, has their eye on the, CMO or C-level type seat, in the future, it's a great place to be, to be able to do that. So marketing operations is an enabler of this, for the CMO and the marketing organization in order to, to be able to pull this off.
Well, I think one of the advantages that marketing operations can bring to the whole thing is looking across the whole marketing organization and across the whole customer life cycle, across all of these objectives that the C-team is espousing, and connecting the dots, finding
Absolutely.
Ways to tell a more graphic story, putting things together that motivate people and get people out of their silos and help people collaborate more so that marketing becomes more synergistic. And I think that's where the real strategic value of the marketing ops role.
Well, that's right. And it ties back to, helping the overall organization be more agile, more aligned, and more accountable.
All right. Well, that's it for today. I think, Gary, we plan to do these online conversations every 2 weeks. The day may vary a little bit, but we do hope to cover some valuable topics to marketing operations profession, and welcome listeners to follow this channel and stay tuned.
Thanks, everybody. Can't wait till the next one.
Great. Thanks, Gary.
Join us on a regular basis for more solutions to customer value performance momentum. Please visit clearaction.com and arrange a demo for your team to see how the ClearAction Value Exchange is a game changer in job satisfaction and strategic impact.